This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Well, we just heard Kara Miller talking about, among other things, facing Obama in the second term, a battle over the debt ceiling. Well, one of the far-out ideas that has come out of negotiations for this is this concept of minting a trillion-dollar coin. The promise of such a coin was ultimately shot down by the White House, but we've got somebody with us right now who is a professor at Harvard who says maybe not the best idea, but not the craziest idea. So Jeffrey Frankel, economist and professor over at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, thanks for joining us here on Boston Public Radio.
Good to be with you.
So what is it that we're exactly up against here with the debt ceiling debate right now?
Well, of course, there is a genuine long-term issue of economics, which is an unsustainable debt path in the long term, which I think everybody knows about and has known about for quite a while, and both parties know about. But the immediate problem is yet another cliff, this one, of course, being that Congress, under the law, has to raise the ceiling on the amount of debt that the Treasury can issue in order to issue more debt, even though Congress has already approved the spending amounts and the taxes that imply a budget deficit and that therefore imply the need to borrow. And they're doing it as a tactic, in most cases, as a tactic to try to force what they see as moves in a more fiscally responsible direction by the White House.
Right. So that, just to clarify, so Congress at one point says they have a vote on the money that they're going to spend for a particular year, and they know when they vote on that they're going to spend more than they're anticipating and they're going to bring in. And yet they still have to, like, authorize that money later down the road. That's what this is, that later down the road, authorizing the money they knew that they were going to have to authorize.
That's exactly right. So it's duplication, and to refuse to raise it is to put the government under the control of two completely contradictory laws at the same time.
Hmm. So has it always been this way, or is this idea of this duplicate vote, this debt ceiling vote, is that something that has developed over time? Where did that come from initially?
Well, it's most often traced back to 1917 when Congress passed something called the Second Liberty Bond Act, which authorized, the point was to make it easier for the Treasury to borrow because we were entering World War I.
Okay.
And previously, the Congress had to authorize each and every bond issue separately, and this was supposed to make it easier by saying the Treasury could up to a maximum could use its discretion on exactly when or what type of bonds to issue. And for most of its history, which is almost 100 years, the debt ceiling, every time we bump up against it, which we have under every president almost, certainly every president in my lifetime, every time we bump against it, the Congress has just raised it almost 100 times. They voted to raise it usually without anyone even noticing or any newsworthiness at all.
Okay, so now before we get into the coin, if you could just give us a basic idea of what happens if we do not vote to raise the debt ceiling. I mean, the term that we keep hearing is that we could default on our bills. It's going to affect our credit rating. What exactly happens if we don't raise the debt ceiling?
Well, it would almost certainly have an adverse effect on our debt rating. Even last time, in the summer 2011, when they raised it at the last minute, but under very kind of crazy circumstances, Standard & Poor's downgraded the U.S. for the very first time in our history. We were always AAA rated by all the rating agencies, and they downgraded us for the first time. So I think if Congress doesn't vote it to raise it this time, whatever else is true, I'd be willing to bet that we get another downgrade. But, you know, there's all kinds of debates as to what would happen. There are some who claim, well, it wouldn't be that bad. They would prioritize, at least for a while, servicing the debt, in other words, paying interest and on the existing debt and redeeming Treasury bonds as they came due, Treasury bills. And they would just stop other kinds of payment. But number one, other kinds of payment, well, you're talking about, you know, Social Security checks and payments to veterans or to current soldiers, and you're talking about suppliers. You know, if the U.S. government has bought a bunch of office supplies from Staples and then refuses to pay the bill on that, I mean, to my mind, all those things, they're politically bad, but also they are defaulting on your legal obligations just as much as if you stop payment on the actual Treasury securities. And I think in terms of the disruption long-term to our credit rating and, you know, kind of the interest rate the Treasury would have to pay you know, indefinitely into the future, but also disruption to the financial system and the entire world economy. It would, I think, have a negative effect.
So it sounds like not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Okay. So enter the idea of the trillion-dollar coin. What is the basic premise of the trillion-dollar coin?
So, I mean, first let me say there's a number of unconventional gimmicks that people are thinking of to try to get around this. And the trillion-dollar coin is probably the most colorful of them. It also is on relatively better legal ground. I'm not a lawyer, but so far as I can understand, there have not really been legal objections raised to it yet. But I'm not sure it would be advisable. The idea is that The Bureau of Engraving is actually under the control of the Treasury, not the Federal Reserve, even though the Federal Reserve controls the overall money supply.
Okay.
And so the Treasury can't just decide to create more money in other forms, bank accounts or even paper money. But it happens that they can create coins made of platinum. And this was done originally for the idea of commemorative coins, but legally they have the authority to issue what would be a trillion-dollar coin. And then
now, does this coin have to contain $1 trillion worth of platinum, or it could just be a platinum coin the size of whatever they want, and they deem it as worth $1 trillion?
Like the rest of our coins, you know, the a silver dollar doesn't contain a dollar, or a dollar doesn't contain a dollar's worth of metal. And my guess is there probably isn't $1 trillion worth of platinum in the world. I don't know, but no, the whole point would be. It would be worth far less in terms of its actual metallic value, but its face value would say just like the rest of our money.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't a coin that would circulate. It would first sit in a vault of the Bureau of Engraving and the Treasury, and then they would walk it over to the Federal Reserve, who would allow the Treasury to give the money for it, allow the Treasury to draw on checking accounts at the Fed and to pay the bills as they come due.
So now they have
Congress.
$1 trillion more dollars that they didn't have before, and they can use that to in lieu of the debt ceiling being raised, they now have more money at their disposal to pay these bills.
Well, I mean, you're not really creating any money, so I would just say it sort of, but it's a way of evading the debt ceiling, a very clever way of evading the debt ceiling. And then when Congress did come to its the Federal Reserve still controls the total amount of money, so people who are afraid that this would, you know, have a huge increase in the money supply and lead to inflation, that's not right. The Federal Reserve controls the total quantity of money. They would be creating more money in this form of this trillion-dollar coin, but then they would offset that by reducing the money supply elsewhere by $1 trillion. So the total money supply wouldn't be any different than it would otherwise. And then hopefully it would work. the threat of it would, you know, even before that debt ceiling had to be raised, the other side would give in. But even if not, at some point, after we went over that particular cliff, the idea is the other side would give in and they would raise the debt ceiling, and then you just reverse the whole process and the Fed would give the trillion-dollar coin back to the Treasury, who would then melt it down.
All right, so two things you said. One, you said hopefully it would work. What is it that's unknown about it? You mean hopefully the threat of it would mean you wouldn't have to actually do it by hopefully it would work?
That's exactly what I mean.
I see.
I'm not sure that's right, actually. I mean, given the willingness to go down to the wire when it seems obvious that they were going to ultimately lose with the January 1st fiscal cliff, and then again now, and it could just sort of anger them. So Plan B, which I'm slightly more in favor of, is you don't threaten to use it. Shouldn't say Plan B, an alternate version. You don't threaten to use it, but if Congress refuses to raise the debt ceiling, and it's a choice between defaulting on federal obligations versus some gimmick like this, at that point I'm in favor of some gimmick, maybe this one, although there's probably other possibilities that wouldn't sound as bad.
I see. So why do you think the White House took it off the table? It's just too gimmicky?
Well, I mean, you know, they've also taken off the table the more obvious route of saying that under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which says that the U.S. debt can't be questioned, that the whole debt ceiling law is unconstitutional in the first place, and just ignore it. They also said they'd take that off the table. Some of these things they may, if we really go over this cliff and Congress refuses to raise the debt ceiling, and it's a choice between this or defaulting, they may they may change their mind and use them. But I think my guess is if it really came to that, they could find something else that would be on a little better ground legally, maybe, than the 14th Amendment, and wouldn't sound quite as inflammatory as the coin. I mean, the problem with the coin, in my view, politically, is that there are these people out there, and my guess is there's a high overlap with the people who are willing to blow up the economy to stop the government from borrowing. Some of them are kind of prone to conspiracy theories, if you'll pardon me saying so, specifically in the area of money and gold. And I don't know, I haven't seen poll results, but for all I know, there's some overlap with people who believe, in a conspiracy theory that Obama wasn't born in the U.S. and so on and so on. And, in a way, you sort of want to say, stick it to these people if they're that crazy. But when you're dealing with a crazy person, you really don't want to encourage them. You don't want to, fan the flames. And I'm afraid that this would actually fan the flames of paranoia in the monetary area. And for that reason, I think that probably if it really got that bad, they should find some other gimmick to get around the...
It sounds like you're on solid economic ground, but maybe politically not a good idea. Really quick before I let you go, Jeffrey Frankel, who would you put on a $1 trillion coin?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put Obama. I'd put the people who are refusing to raise the debt ceiling. Some people have suggested Speaker of the House Boehner, but the fact is, Boehner's cat he doesn't want to do this. I think it's all they're at the mercy of the Tea Party people. So I don't know. Michelle Bachmann, I suppose.
All right. There you have it. Jeffrey Frankel, economist, professor at Harvard Kennedy School, explaining why the $1 trillion coin is not the craziest idea, just simply probably not the best idea for the debt ceiling debate. Thanks for being with us here on Boston Public Radio.
My pleasure.
All right, from big money to big data, Kara Miller digs into what data can tell us and others about ourselves. That's next on Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and this is 89.7 WGBH.